The views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WPRK, its management, or employees of Rollins College.
All right, folks, welcome back to Punkonomics here at the WPRK Winter Park, Florida, the voice of Rollins College and the best in basement radio.
So, yeah, are we on?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Miguel was just explaining to us, drawing this triangle and kind of, you know, pointing out how you have good power elites, you know, the wealthy, the powerful today. I mean, in our society today, wealth is power. You know, in Roman times, it means you had legions, but you had to be wealthy to have the legions and pay them. Otherwise, they'd abandon you. So, I mean, today is really just wealth equals power. And the government and the police are in this kind of triangular relationship in which each protects each other. And where are the people in all of this? You know, out in the cold. And that's absolutely right. And we had, and I was mentioning how a couple of months back when there were some riots in Ferguson after yet other police brutality and murders, we discussed these things on the show, and I think it was Jay Gordon who's working in can't be here, right? Hey Jay, if you're listening to this, was explaining how, you know, more radical models of policing, this kind of state police that is accountable to the power elites, you know, the corrupt politicians and the corrupt money behind them. So maybe what we really need, and therefore the police, what does it do, essentially? It puts down people who are a danger to the system, it, by any means necessary, and not, in a very ugly way, and it protects property, you know? So we think of the ethics and many, you know, nice people and kids of many types of political persuasions. We're all shocked at how people are, shocked at how people are shocked with the destruction of property, but not with the destruction of life. But that makes sense in a cynical kind of political economic way, right? I mean, that's their job, to protect property and to crush life when that life comes into conflict with property. So maybe we need a police with a different job, you know, a police that really is there to protect the security of the population. But for that, like in any political system, you have to have some accountability. So how, I mean, and there are people who are talking, clever people who understand, you know, legal issues and policy issues. And, you know, I try and follow these arguments a little bit about how you could create a community-based or at least a police that is both pulls people from the community into its rank. Or if this poor neighborhoods have all these unemployed people, they should be policemen, for example.
First, we're going to, in order to do anything like that, we need political power.
Yeah.
Political power, which we really don't have. We might have one or two representatives there, but because as soon as they get into office, the party platform, you know, requires them to just fit in. In other words, they really
or get marginalized, right?
Exactly. Or get marginalized. There's a possibility your same party might run somebody else, you know, in the next election in the primaries against that candidate. So there's a part, I think, you know, that we have a big problem with the two-party system that we have right now, which, by the way, takes millions in corporate money. You know, we have the problem where the Supreme Court says that corporations are people, and therefore they could give us much and more money.
No, it was before, quite frankly. Yeah. You know, it's not like, let's not fool ourselves. If we reverse Citizen United, everything will go away. No, that was nail in the coffin, but the body was already dead and in the box before we put that nail in.
You raise a good point, because when I lived in Texas, I guess it was like the late 90s, early 2000s, I had a church, a pastor of a church, and there was around the corner a police station, but it was called community-oriented policing staff. And so they worked very closely with myself, and there was this elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And we took care of the neighborhood. And I'm not sure what type of funding that came from or where it came from, but I would like to see that in other places as well. It's very effective.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to be the bad guy. They were like the mother, the father, the brother, the big brother type. They were mentors to the community versus just being the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are cases like that. I think in Seattle there was one mentioned recently in the some kind of press, at least the kind of so yeah, I mean there's bubbles of this happening, you know, of
it's
this
not
kind
consistent.
Of it is happening, but again, the big machine is what it is. But again, you know, I mean, this you can grow that. You can show that look, this works. In fact, it does, and it does. By the way, it reduces violence, right? Mm-hmm. It reduces it works. Unless if your goal is to, you know, beat people down and put them into jail. Sadly, when you look at the big machine, political economic machine, that is the goal.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people that are part of it, part of the problem, don't kind of recognize it and actually don't realize that they are really a major part of the problem. They have a lot of these denial mechanisms. Just like now when we talk about, yes, but you should be patient. Yeah, you should be, all these sloganistic things that are just silly. I mean, it's BS when it comes to reality. But people like to say it because it makes them feel good about themselves. But the system is failing us. All but the proverbial 1%, maybe the top 3%, not 1%, are doing better and better every year.
And that leaves us with a question. What can I do? What can we do? You know, as to how can we work to turn this around for the sake of the little ones that are coming behind us, you know? And it's frustrating because wants to put in place mechanism within the community to organize the community, you know, and one struggle many times with funding, number one, because in a capitalist system, it's gonna take gas money to get there. It's gonna take that Jesus trick. You know, the great activist Jesus of bringing the fish and the bread, you know, and multiplying that when the crowd gets bigger in the community, you know, as an activist. How do we do
it's
that?
A good magic trick right there.
Yeah. I wish that would work for me.
It's poetic.
Wonderful. Yeah, but you know.
Actually, he worked hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it becomes sometimes frustrating, you know. I think I have gotten gray before my time. Sometimes I said, it's all the thinking and the struggling of trying to fight this system of oppression, you know, against all odds, you know.
Yeah, you're paying attention, so you turn gray before your time, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't do order and law and order of any kind, so take it any way you want, but I do want to give you all a time. Not only we like shamefully promote now that we have confirmation, hey Anthony, that we can actually take donations, so I'm going to from now on start like shamefully raising funds for Speak Up Florida, as Miguel runs and recruited me to do. So let me just start with that, and after that I want to allow you both of you to kind of tell us a little bit more about the stuff that you do precisely in this context of what do you actually do. And of course there's many other things to do. We're not saying these three models are the only ones out there. There's a lot, but I want to hear, you know, as much as detailed as you want to give us, and remind myself, the audience, and everybody involved that send us the info, any kind of info you want, the organization, the website, the Facebook group, whatever it is that you like, so that it might be, I need to watch the rules. Yeah, I might not, and I can't just shamefully. Okay, I got it, and I know how to do it clean. I'll do that clean, and then I'll talk to Greg, off the air. But, you know, we tell us about these things, and later, actually, when we publish this, the audio file as a podcast, it goes to all the typical places, Stitcher, iTunes, etc., or you can search it on your whatever podcast app you have or anything on the web. You'll find us. The central place is punkonomics.org if you want to find this thing. And also, yeah, so send any information you want, and I will post it along with the official podcast post so people can find out about it and get involved. So yeah, I won't do like straight up hardcore fundraising, but you know, I can still recommend that if you're interested to hear more about what Miguel's does, and he recruited me very effectively into that. I don't do as much as I could, but I try. Speak Up Florida, that's Speak Up FL, one word, right? Speak Up FL, one word, no, dot org. Again, if you go to punkonomics.org, you'll find that link, again and again in recent times. And, yeah, learn a little bit about it and, maybe do something about it too, if you so feel inclined.
Yeah.
The rules of FCC, just so you know why I'm speaking funny, it is that we can't tell you to do anything. We can only suggest.
Yeah, we need all the support that the public give us, especially in these times. You know, we are a grassroots organization. I was honored 5 years ago to kick off the at that moment the campaign to end the new Jim Crow with Mitch Alexander directly and the main organizer Joseph Jazz Hayden, who I've mentioned before here in this program, who is a great organizer and was part of organizing the revolt in the prison of Attica.
Famous episode.
Yeah, so I was honored to kick off that campaign. At that moment, we brought Michelle Alexander, the author of The New Jim Crow, to New York City, our Riverside Church. We had a venue of 800 people. The halls were full. Possibly we had 1,000 people, according to per conversation.
That's when the book came out, right?
Wasn't it? You went right,
or something
right when
there,
right when it came out. Yes. And the idea was to respond to Mitch Alexander's call to movement to end mass arrest, mass incarceration, to end the war on drugs, and all the collateral consequences and damages that come with that, and police brutality being one of them, the most brutal. So yeah, I was honored to be there, and I've learned a lot with these activists that were also involved, especially from Jazz Jaden and Michelle Alexander and many others. And 5 years later, I'm here after doing some work on the ground in New York City. I'm here in Florida with Speaker opening, where we opened Speaker Florida in July of last year. So we're about to have our first year anniversary. Speaker Florida is an independent chapter of that movement to end the new Jim Crow. It's grassroots. It's just individuals from the communities. I'm formerly incarcerated myself. We got people of all walks of life. We've participating. You know, but Michelle Alexander mentioned that in her book that is very important for formerly incarcerated individuals like me to take a role and spearhead this movement. That's the work I'm doing. But, you know, it takes money to do this too. You know, there's a location, there's a space where we have computers that were donated by the public, that we had a desk donated by the public. We need to pay electricity. We need to pay the internet and the rent I mentioned. We want to get places, we want to organize communities, so we want to have bus passes for individuals that don't have the resources, so they could come and learn about what is the new Jim Crow, why are we being mass incarcerated. We want to put the history, as Mitch Alexander puts it, very in perspective. We got plenty of videos. We show films like The House We Live In, which is a great film. I recommend documentary out there, which show about films. So there's a new, by the way, new film coming out about the Black Panthers in the vanguard of a revolution, in which I was honored to be in the premiere by USF recently. So films like this, empowerment films, you know, that will wake up our communities. In the new foreword of the book, the new edition of the book, The New Jim Crow, Cornel West wrote the foreword, and he mentions the term sleepwalker. You know, that many in our community are sleepwalkers. And in other words, our people perish for the lack of knowledge. So what we want to do is, you know, teach and teach and teach, because that's what's going to lead to main organizing, long-term organizing. You know, if we just go out there and continue to come in the same pattern of being reactionaries without knowing the root causes of the problem of mass incarceration, we're now knowing the root causes of police brutality, then we're not going to be able to fix it. You know, and that's why I love Michelle Alexander so much, because she came up with this wonderful curriculum to be presented in high schools. You know, so how are we going to do, how do we get that curriculum, you know, to teach? It's called teaching tolerance on the new Jim Crow, teaching tolerance. So how do we get that to our schools? Well, that's going to be a battle, you know, but it's there. It's prepared by her and other professionals in the field of education. So as we organize, we got intellectuals like Michelle Alexander, many, many other intellectuals in her team that are preparing materials so we could bring it to our communities. We're having study groups on the book, on The New Jim Crow. We have discussions in films. We also collaborate. We're not a membership organization, but our participants, what we do is we direct them to participate with other organizations. It could be we're organized now. It could be in an action with us also. Because we don't have that capacity to retain membership, and the idea is really not to create a membership organization, it's really to create a movement. So as we do this and bring people into the studies group and discussion group, we want to direct them to organizations that are doing good work in our community. I could mention a few of them organized now. We had a couple of weeks here Steve Rausser from Mainstream mm-hmm. Alliance, who's working
the
on
last
that.
Podcast on
yeah,
the
yeah.
So
with organizations like this, we're partnering up, you know, to work together. And you know, I'm honored, you know, that I'm a formerly incarcerated. I have no degree. I'm pretty much self-educated in the tradition of Malcolm X. Mostly in prison, reading
all
that.
It's an old tradition, yes. respectable tradition.
So I'm honored to share the board, you know, with professors and individuals of master and bachelor degree, and also with all the formerly incarcerated individuals, you know. So we're trying our best, and please support us. Speakupfl.org. Check our website. My name is Miguel Adams, and you can also send me an email at adams.miguel1@gmail.com. Thank you for the opportunity, yeah. Benny.
And Punkonomics is always happy to, yeah. I mean, that, I mean, one of the exciting things is how you even give the space, right? I mean, it's all like being used all the time, because yes. other groups that have, you know, that way it saves solidarity between different causes and different issues. So you don't, you know, everybody respects the other's concerns and to do something about it, right? Yeah. And from all walks of life, like yeah. Miguel was saying, and our little role here in Punkonomics is just to kind of convey some information. So, yeah, if you're regulars or whatever, and that's the easiest way, just hook us up, talk to us, and we will give you any information you need also.
Great.
So, that's great. I gotta say, I mean, it's been very frustrating for me to be talking my mouth off. As an academic, you know, you can write and speak, but that's not cut it, you know? So I appreciate the opportunity that you grabbed me there in Lake Eola.
Thank you.
Totally do, you know? You. Really. So, you know, tell us more. Whoever wants to go first.
Well, I'm Sophia, and I work with Organize Now. Okay, what Organize Now is a grassroots organization that deals with making change in our communities. We work on things like immigration, earned paid sick time, the environment. It's all to empower people. Okay, that's the start. You have to empower people. We help to clean up areas in which we live. We make changes in the community. We make the community stronger. We help members with all types of issues, such as landlord issues or policing. You know, just, that's just a couple of things. We make public officials, we work to make public officials accountable for their actions. We try. We really do. We give them hell.
Good. Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean. They do it just so that you go away, right? That's that is an old tradition. This goes back thousands of years, you know? People, especially women, by the way, who are like, right there, you know?
Yeah,
like,
we give them hell.
We will
we really
not
do.
Let you go until you do what's right, you know? So, yeah.
But we're, okay, we have what we call, we have a couple of programs right now. We call it a youth, program, a youth, planning program committee. We also have a racial justice committee. Okay, this and we're looking at what's going on in Baltimore right now. We want to show some signs of solidarity with them because we understand. We really do understand. I agree with what Benjamin said as far as understanding the violence, because now it is at least being talked about. It is being noticed. Before, it was swept under the rug. Nobody paid it any attention. Now, I don't agree with all the stuff that they're doing. No, I don't. I hate this because a lot of innocent people are being hurt who don't have anything to do with that. So I don't agree with it all, but I do understand it. And something does have to be done. And it does take a little bit of rioting, a little bit of trouble in order to get some changes made. Okay, so I'm with that, but it's just, we just really got to figure out a way. I love the organization that I work for. I love what I do because I'm actually helping people. And I was one of those people who needed a lot of help. Still do, you know? But it's good to be able to give back. I still live in the same old communities that we're struggling to clean up. But it's okay because it's going to get better, you know, and it's through organizations like Organize Now and Speak Up Florida that things are going to make changes. You need our organizations in these communities, in these areas, that we're needed. People don't realize it, but we're honestly needed.
No, no, that, you know, that's huge. I was just actually, I was talking with my dear wife about this morning, about how really, yeah, those big national organizations, I feel like I'm giving like a commentary after you guys are saying, well. but it's, you know, just exactly how, not that you're needed, you're it. I really want to go beyond this grassroots stuff. I mean, don't bother, or will I manage to slip it in there, you know, probably, right? Don't, presidential elections? Okay, we're not going to open the Pandora box. I'll just say one word, meh. Okay? This is where it's happening right there. It's the grassroots that is now making a difference, that always has made a difference. Mm-hmm. And the people who are at kind of the bottom, the people who are getting beaten, whether they are marching peacefully or rioting, whatever it is, whether it be in like ancient Babylonia or in Baltimore right now, are the ones that are the conscious of progress. You know, people want to get all starry-eyed and wave their flags and talk about liberty and stuff. This is where it's happening, you know. It's not happening at, you know, in the campaign headquarters of anybody.
No, it's not
happening in the big fancy institutions or the big what do we call it now? It's cynically the charity industrial complex, you know, that give like 2% of what they pick up. The rest is like the salaries, the limousines, the caviar and such.
You know,
this is where it happens. This is the conscience of the nation. This is what, you know, took this country from, you know, being a colony to being an independent country. What took it from being a plantation capitalism to being the powerhouse industry of the world. Really, I mean, I'm not like, this sounds like this kind of gushing, this is facts of history. All right?
since you mentioned elections, Apparently, another Punkonomics first. Bernie Sanders is going to announce that he's running for president.
I mean, as an aside, right? I open it like, you know, I think like a, you know, geek that I am, right? Aside, before, you know, because I think your church thing is really fascinating, you know, and I'm like this secular, crazy atheist Jew, but I think it's great. Yeah, so Bernie Sanders running. So, I mean,
yeah,
he's
going to announce it today.
He has no chance. Unless he becomes a rotten tool, and I really don't think he would be. That's the same reason why Elizabeth Warren is refusing, because she doesn't want to be a tool, and I guess she decided she doesn't want to be what Bernie Sanders is planning to do. So first of all, Sanders isn't independent, the only socialist in the Senate, right? but at the same time, I guess he can perform an important role in standing there in the primaries and calling Hillary Clinton on her BS. You know, so every time when she's gonna give her crap, can I say that? Hopefully. Sorry, FCC. Sorry, Greg. So at least he'll be there and saying, like, wait a minute. You know? So that he will perform. I'm sure he doesn't have any nowhere near the budget to run further than that. And he will lose in the primaries, of course, because our masters have decided already who's going to run. They don't even
ask. We'll see. I'm definitely going to vote for him.
Yeah, that would be a push, you know, in the sense of, look, there is a groundswell populist movement. It's like 1877 all over again, you know. There is still hope.
Yeah, that's an alternative.
But really, I mean, it's no joke about this. It's a big deal, this notion that we always think, oh, you know, the poor, the downtrodden, they march, they die, but it's not just the conscience of society. It is the movers, you know. This is where it happens. And in so much as they get co-opted by the bourgeoisie, well, that's what happened in the French Revolution. The minute it became like, oh, the rich and powerful decided to get on board and take charge, then the mass execution started, and before you know it, they had an emperor. you know, so it's not, I'm being pragmatic here, not just gushingly emotional, or some combination thereof anymore. Tell us about this fascinating institution you're running.
Yeah, I'm new to Orlando, a little under a year. Texan native, came here from Detroit was in Detroit for about 2 years. Very cold there, so it ran me down here.
Whereabouts in Detroit?
I lived in the downtown area.
Okay, so did I.
Okay, I lived off of Woodward.
Oh, okay. I lived in Lafayette Towers.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you kind of know that. It was too cold for me there, so I'm southern girl, southern blood. So, as I said, I've been here a little under a year, about 8 or 9 months, and I stopped pastoring 2007. Traditionally, I went to Africa 3 times, twice to Ghana, and I'd always knew there was a whole lot more than what they were feeding us, and I won't get in that on this program, but so.
Well, next time you come.
Yes.
Doors open, invitations always extended.
Thank you. But here we are again, and so the new work, it's a in its new stage, it's called Spiritual Temple of Diversity and Awakening. It's new thought, it's metaphysical, it's interfaith, meaning that we embrace everyone, regardless of what their belief system is, because people always ask me if I'm a Christian. I'm saying, no, I'm not, because Jesus wasn't a Christian. Neither was Buddha a Buddhist or Muhammad a Muslim, so... And so I know that there's more than one path to truth, whatever that may or may not be. You kind of jokingly talked about being atheist. There's even something called Sunday Assembly where they just don't ascribe to any deity, because I believe that God is within. Even the Christian Bible says that, you know, we are God. So we, long story short is to, touch into our higher self, God. And how this all comes about is that, being on that same thought, I do still believe faith and spirituality have a place in our communities. Again, that's bringing that oneness, the unity together. All people matter, not just black lives, but all lives matter. And some kind of way we can come together and bring that. And one of my friends, reminded me that, in your quest for spirituality, you can't forget about social justice. And it wasn't that I hadn't forgotten about it, it's just that I just didn't realize that I had met the man himself that does it so prolific here in Orlando. So we have been reuniting on that to make change. So not only as representing the temple, as I affectionately called it, but as an individual, as a leader, as a spiritual leader, as a community leader, I want to plug myself into organizations that are really trying to help people to make changes, to make an impact, global impact, not just because I believe that we have to sometimes go outside of our zip code, outside of our comfort zones to do that. So as a leader, I want to be sure that I'm not just coming down or being like Al Sharpton, kind of showing up. And being an ambulance chaser or a celebrity, but some real positive impacts. And create a sacred space for people to come, and we meet second and fourth Sundays, but a place for people to come to be empowered. I think sometimes our churches have become very commercialized. We have commercialized God. We have become the God that people are afraid of. God is not a white man that's sitting down waiting to kill us or whatever, a lot of stuff that we're taught. So we want to be spirit. We want to service all humans, H-U-E, humans, people of all colors, all ethnos, all ethnics, all ethnicities, people matter. And so at the temple here in Orlando, we just want to be a place, we want to be something organic. And hopefully, we can collaborate even with,
Organize now.
Anything we can, anywhere we can plug in to help make an impact. That's what we want to do. And right now you can find us on Facebook. It's Spiritual Temple of Diversity and Awakening. Myself, it's Robin Harris, or if you put in Apostle Robin Harris. Also we do have a website. It's spiritualtemple, I think, .wix.com, something weird like that. But just hit me up on Facebook. When I grow up, I'd like to be a motivational speaker. So, let's connect. And thank you for, I want to thank Miguel for allowing me to be on, and
Professor
Mr. Jesse. This is, you guys are awesome. You guys are cool.
Plotting to take over the world.
And I just want to say that, Baltimore could be, it could be our reality, due to the poverty, the neglect, you know, that's sponsored by all of this. It could be, it could be right here in Florida. And
it will, you're absolutely right. It's a matter of time. Yeah. Like Detroit. I mean, that's our future. Yeah. We'll see where we're going. That's where we're going.
But if you want to know more about Organize Now, you can go to our website, which is orgnow.org. And you can get to see all the people who work there, all the things, all the accomplishments we've made, what services we offer. We're pretty good. So check us out.
Yeah, and I'm like,
cool people. Very cool. People.
Right. Yeah, every week or something, I see Miguel is all like, he's got some other organization like in his web.
That's the purpose of the movement. Oh, yeah. Collaboration, building a line. We've been fragmented for too long.
Each on their own pet peeve, or their own location issue. Yes. Right. What were you? You were the one who was saying, like the movement of movement thing. So that's because, a little bit like that, a little here, a little there, and eventually you got it. And Orlando is rising. I mean, not burning anything yet, but I gotta laugh because otherwise you start crying. But at least I do. But there is, it's supposed to be this kind of hellhole of politically speaking, but not anymore.
But at least, you know, hopefully it won't happen in Orlando, but if it happens here, you know, we got Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld.
We could be disruptive gently and peacefully disruptive. Tourists come here, they don't want to see stuff. I mean, imagine what happens. People see, like in Germany, seeing the news that there's like, police, beating people up in the streets in Orlando, that will be like, maybe we'll go someplace else this year.
Yeah, can you imagine poor Mickey just...
That's become an interesting meme, right? Just see, like, there's a whole other... In another part of life, I do all this kind of cultural criticism with my wife, who's a specialist on fairy tales. All these, like, twisted things, because actually all those fairy tales initially were really, like, progressive, radical stories, and then kind of became kind of...
whitewashed.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say that.
Or whatever, right? Nail washed, nail whitewashed, something like that. But no, absolutely. I mean, I missed my cue. I was going to say after you what you were telling, I wanted to say like, I'm an enlightened atheist, so I wanted to say amen to what you were just saying. That kind of stuff, couldn't have said it better too. So yeah, and reminder for everybody that we will put it all. So I'll collect that info. Actually, it'd be lovely if you just email it to me, you know, later. I'll give you my info, and I'll put it as you, I already liked all your sites and everything, but just to help me not make a fool out of myself and provide one place with all that information, which we will attach to the audio file. So it's in one place, searchable, etc. I try and tag it and stuff. So it works out well. Right. And yeah, Miguel's Speak Up Florida is doing a little barbecue.
A little barbecue.
In case you're downtown.
Sunday.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I don't know. I got all these things going on in my life. But yeah, Miguel makes a mean barbecue. And just a little bit thing. And it's really a nice thing, right? Because, okay, on the one hand, you know, you come, you give $10, right? If you're,
able to.
But then you're also at the same time feeding homeless people, and then they obviously don't have to pay.
The Salvation Army is right in front of us. We have a great a connection with the homeless population.
Who also come to the offices so that they can use the internet, computers, check out Michelle Alexander lecture.
We had individuals there that can go into the library because they're homeless, they're being marked for whatever reason.
Right.
And
you can't have if you're not residing officially with paperwork in a neighborhood, you can't go to a library.
And I had a couple of people who have found jobs via the internet. They've done the Social Security application, their food stamp application. So for all those computers that the community have donated, including you, are being put to good use. Yeah. Mm. So, and that's what we want to do. You know, if it's a grassroots movement, it has to start with the most marginalized, the one that are really in the bottom, you know, below the grass.
Yeah, that's how it happens. That's the thing. I mean, for me, I seem like I'm like mumbling this again and again, and you guys maybe probably like, because you're more experienced than me, you know, you're all like rolling your eyes, like, hello, wake up, you finally figure that out. And I'm like, some things I know, some things I know that I don't know, like Ramsfeld would say, right? So it's good. You know what I mean? At least I know that I don't know. So I'm learning about that, but to me it's a huge revelation because, again, if you're formally educated, you're always told about this kind of history from the top, right? So sure, I mean, a moment in my life that kind of my head exploded and like one of those TV series I like to watch, you know, brain all over the walls, was when I read Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States. And I know sadly a lot of people are tortured with it in high school and sadly maybe it doesn't work out for them, but anyway, you know, the story from the bottom, you know, you want to talk about the first, Europeans arriving in America. Don't tell it from the point of view of the entrepreneurs, you know, making money off of it. How about the Native Americans' point of view, huh?
Exactly.
They saw it a little bit differently, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, many times I keep in the show all the time telling people how, you know, America was dragged from like an ex-colony resource base. You know, when we look at the poor world today, right? This rich in slave labor where the real slave-owned chattel people or sweatshop laborers, crop share owners, all matters of degree, crop share workers, all matters of degrees. You know, these are the people that once again forced the bosses to move from this kind of plantation model that just leads to a few people rich and mostly living in London, by the way, or maybe some in New York and Pennsylvania and Baltimore. Oh, by the way, okay, I'm going on my tangent here. Baltimore has a long history of police brutality in recent times, but, you know, you can take that. That was the port of slavery, the number one port of slavery. That's where the slave came. That was the biggest one. From there, the ships would clear customs and send their cargo to initially the Carolinas and Virginia and all that, and then later on into the Southwest where the real killing fields were in Mississippi and Louisiana. But so look at the history of Baltimore, yeah? Mm-hmm. Goes You can keep going, yes? Biggest initial market. But no, to go back, this notion that, who made America great? Yeah? Oh, the bosses, the entrepreneurs, these wonderful dead white guys you see in the book, history books. No. Farmers, slaves, you know, foreign agitators from Europe, immigrants. Those are the people who dragged the bosses screaming and kicking. They didn't want to. They were happy on the plantation. Yeah. Of different version, even in free states, you know. Mm-hmm. But raw material. You know, not high tech, not industry, not infrastructure, railway, factories, that high tech, skilled workers, public education, health, all of that stuff that makes America great and is rotting under our feet today. We're still living off of the investments of the 50s and 60s today, and it's going to run out. It's running out. Science, technology, space, you know, that was a path that it was actually the workers, you know. You don't have to be a socialist to buy into that at all. On the contrary, in fact, some of it was socialist, you know, even back in the late 19th century. That's the foreign agitator, you know, a bunch of Jews from Russia and Germany, you know, raising hell. But there was a lot of American populism, you know, which were kind of really, you know, often very Christian, traditional, white, you know, center of America, heartland types, who also didn't like to get screwed over by bankers in Pennsylvania and New York, you know. Hell. So once again, this is an observation, historical, and we see today, and that is the hope, in fact. So that should be the focus. It's not, it's not charity. This is saving America, you know?
Yeah.
Give your support in any way, if you so choose. Otherwise, remain a part of the problem.
I really appreciate what you have done. You know, it's really an honor to have you on our board also. If the opportunity just to, even to this college that, you know, that they could have a radio program that the community have access to it, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even, I'm not alone in this too. Yeah, I mean, so, Jesse dragged me out of the classroom, but, you know, other people have been doing it longer than me, right?
Jesse, yeah.
It's been about, almost 3 years now since I dragged you out of there.
Yeah, Jesse was going
Jesse got you into this?
Well, yeah, essentially a couple of students were saying like, hey, you're entertaining, man. You need to go beyond. You need a bigger crowd.
Go check out Jesse.
And Jesse was the one who said, next week.
Yeah, I was a student.
Okay.
And I just sat back and I went like, yeah, I'd love to have him on the air, you know,
do
something. I was. I'm an alumni now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, he looks a little old for a student, but we do have. Don't forget. I mean, no,
awesome.
Rollins is used for you know. There's the day school, like we call but there's a big, very big, continuing education, adult education, whatever you want to call it.
Holt School.
The Holt School, the Hamilton Holt School.
Wonderful.
That is, first of all, significantly more affordable, and also
and a lot more fun.
Well, in some ways, you know me, I always try and teach cross-listed classes because it adds to the diversity of the class. I mean, in defense, you know, of our college, of our students, I mean, yeah, the tuition rates here, I'm embarrassed to tell if, you know, how high they are.
I've seen them.
But it's only about it's less than a third, I think, of the students that actually pay full tuition. Mm. So either they have some kind of scholarship one way or another. Mm. I mean, listen, you know, we're pushing. I'm on the diversity council. We try, but you know, we are what we are. But there's also a significant minority of, you know, real middle class, not like rich people thinking they're middle class, you know, or even below, that manage to get here for one reason or another and get paid for it. And and again, this is not charity too, by the way. Schools know, the best schools always want poor kids. So we might be snob in the sense that we don't want to deal with the problem poor kids. We're not maybe equipped for it, quite frankly. So we want those uber smart ones that despite everything manage to get through the school system and not end up in jail. So they're already like, you know, why? Because cynically, those are the cream of the cream in terms of academic students. So we want them. They give example. They teach. Right. They might have to do the homework, but frankly, they do more teaching than I am just by being there.
And the whole school is very proactive with the community too.
And diverse. Just awesome.
Very diverse. Yes. And I mean, they basically walk you in, hold you by the hand, and just take you through. Because a lot of, you know, of us who come from the you know, big corporations, you know, either retired or got canned or whatever. You know, you just don't know because it's been so long since you've been in school. And I got to say, the Holt administration literally just grabbed me by the hand from the moment I walked in. Mm-hmm. So, oh, wait a minute. You know, you can't come here. I'm going like, are you kidding? This is so expensive. No. We can help you out.
Yes,
right. And the advice was here with great Connie Holt, which is our director here. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they'll find the scholarships and all of that. And, of course, you know, you have to do your work because that is a hard school. You know,
it can be challenging because, like you said, a lot of people in the have been out of school for a long time, maybe went to a pretty bad school when they did. So we do as teachers, we find sometimes it's a bit harder because you have that diversity has a cost in the sense that, you know, maybe the, let's say, math skill. I know you're, I don't want to out you on the air, but I know you're a mathophobe. I've offered to hold your hand and give you a glass of wine and tell you there, and, you know, if you need it.
I'll need a couple bottles of wine
but
for that one.
But let's say if you take an econ class, an econ major, or, you know, you're going to have to do a little bit of math.
Right.
You know, the day students are more rigorously selected in terms of they had to prepare their SATs or whatever. Have you? And sometimes in the night school, people really have just don't remember anything if they ever learned it. So
yeah, it's been forever. But I got to say, they have quality professors here. I mean, my psych professor, one of my mentors, he actually taught me stats. And I mean, I haven't picked up a stats book in, I don't want to date myself, but about 30 something years, you know. And what I like about the Holt School is that the it's a lot of people that bring, you know, real life experience, mm-hmm. and the professors really embrace that, you know.
Yeah,
and
really
there's
fun.
A lot of dialogue. There's this the typical student, young student, is afraid to speak to a professor in class, you know, give a difference of opinion, versus here, you know, mm-hmm. at Rollins, you know, it is a liberal arts school, you know, mm-hmm. so it's okay for you to speak out and all that and give a difference of opinion. But the Holt School, it's really something else, because you have people my age who have lived life and know that, you know, what's in a book is not really what's out there, you know.
I mean, these are different, literally, I mean, you're the psych mate, right? I mean, these are different developmental stages too.
Right.
These kids are on the average 20 years old. Right. I mean, they could be brilliant and well prepared, but when you're 20 years old, your brain's a little bit different in some
right,
ways.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you get that. You get the people who come in with all sorts of experiences, life experiences, and, you know, they're not afraid to stand up. And I mean, a lot of times I've ran into professors who were just like shocked. It's like, wait a minute, you know that? You've been through that? You experienced that? You know, oh, I didn't know that. You know, they will come out and say, so they're very open. The professors here are just
wonderful.
Great. And, you know, Benny
that's
is one.
Nothing's worse than a professor. You know, that's one of the core lessons for teaching. You know, if you're busted not knowing,
this will be
own it. It's all good.
Yep.
It's a classic kind of no-no for, I've hired many, many faculty, you know, over the years. The classic no-no is somebody, if you screw up and you kind of panic instead of, oh, wait, I made a mistake. Wait a minute. Let me correct it. Be open about it.
And I got to say, even with my disabilities, I graduated with honors from Rollins. So, you know, anybody out there that is listening, you know, if you're, you know, reaching that age where you're going like, well, what am I doing next? You know, old school, I'm afraid of school, you know, and come into Rollins, you know, and talk to some of the administrations, because they'll help you out. And you'll be really surprised, because I didn't even think that I was going to be able to last here a month. And they'd help me out. Disability services is great here. Mm-hmm. They're able to identify mm-hmm. any kind of problems that you may have and help you with that. And I felt very
like
comfortable.
You need a job in the PR department.
I know. But I felt very comfortable.
We can't promote our own, right?
I felt very comfortable, and I was afraid. I was really afraid of coming back to school.
And you know, it's a little bit, we're a little bit more expensive than equivalent things. Or maybe we are more expensive. Again, not the day school. That's a very expensive, fancy private college. All right. But the night school, the Hamilton Holt School, is more than a little bit, but not ridiculously more, not twice as expensive, but significantly more than many of the other kind of Valencia, UCF, whatever, online different things around here. But I do tend to agree, and I know it's an issue, you know, because we're losing students that just look, oh, this is twice as much, so I'll take the cheaper one. Why? But honestly, and then you end up in that program that's really not particularly good.
You know, this sounds like the great place to bring Michelle Alexander.
Well,
no. maybe
the Muslim say inshallah.
Out there in that big field that you have in a big stage of somewhere.
I've put it out there, man, in various persuasive a language as I could, and we'll see. And if not this time, maybe next time. We'll work on it.
Well, we've had some big figures here before. Oh, yeah. Besides the president, who was actually here at one point, we've had Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, he actually gave, that's one of the, I don't often go out because I'm always working. Then when I go home, I want to hang out with my family and I'm not, you know, like, it's difficult. You know, you have this really cool event, but I'm already home. Like, you know, what am I going to wrap up?
Benny's a family guy.
I'm a family man all the way. I'm like Peter Griffin, you know. almost getting there. Jokes aside, he gave a good talk, no doubt about it. Yeah, we got different, you know, Paul McCartney, famous.
Yeah, Paul McCartney.
But I'd like to see, I'd like to see what Michelle Alexander has to say.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, we have all fancy people coming over. That's for sure. Interesting, different kinds, sometimes more interesting than others. It depends, you know.
Yeah, it's a small school, so people are not intimidated, you know, to come in and as a guest. That's what I've seen, cause UCF gets, barely anything compared to what we get here. I mean, we get quality speakers.
Yeah, it's a different structure. I mean, it's a very different structure of institution, you know. I mean, we can criticize everything and happy to do so usually, but but we're a liberal arts college. It's a kind of a small niche out there. It's less than 4% of the education industry in America. I went to a place like this when I immigrated out of my old country. I went to France and I discovered the American education system by going to the American college in Paris. And I joke with students that it's a little bit like this place, only a better time and a better place. You know, the 80s in Paris, France. So, you know.
We're top of the hour here, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we ended up all this like important stuff and then we're like numbrilically reminiscing about, then we kind of ended up with a whimper a little bit, so let me kind of hype up the adrenaline here and thank our guests and openly invite you to come whenever, just, you know, fire a message, schedule something, we figure it out to whatever topic is important to bring others. We definitely try and get people from, well, wherever. Sometimes on the phone, better on the studio. And I'm guessing now that you're kind of, you know, connected with Miguel, I'll probably see you again anyway. So that's you know, keep it the little fights and maybe we save the future for our kids, because things are not looking good, but
small battles win the war.
Yeah, like we're saying, and there's cycles, you know. All we can hope for is getting a little bit better. And make them get a little bit better instead of a lot worse.
That's true.
That's a goal.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Punkonomics here at WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the voice of Rollins College, and the Best in Basement Radio. And remember that all the opinions stated here today are solely ours, not of the staff of Rollins College or WPRK.
Absolutely.
And
nevertheless, we are absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. Even when we're wrong. Take care and tune in next week from 2 to 4.
Thank you.